After witnessing countless people heal from chronic fatigue syndrome and after healing myself, I can state that the most important thing is not really a modality or something like that, but rather an invisible, unspeakable inner transformation. And because it's so hard to put it into words, you almost never hear about it. So luckily, my guest of today, Anna, is really good at saying the things that you need to hear in order to make that inner transformation. So you won't be just inspired by her recovery story, but it will also help you to start with your own transformation process. So my name is Daniel, and in the past, I accidentally stumbled upon a technique to switch symptoms on and off. So I know that sounds amazing, but you're going to hear all about it from Anna. Enjoy. Hello, Anna.
Oh. Hello, Daniel.
How are you doing?
I'm going good today. I feel light and joyful. And, yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, and you've been in the program for over a year right now, right?
Yeah, it's been kind of, yeah, a bit over a year now.
Would you like to share with us why you actually went into the program and what happened and how are you doing right now?
Well, I was having ME/CFS and I was looking for help, basically. Like, actually, I found your program because I googled Campbell CFS because I thought, maybe that would help. And then, I don't know, your website showed. And I checked out many other websites and they were all not really resonating. And you had all this... there's free resources and a lot of content that I liked a lot and I read through and there were videos and books linked and I felt this could really help me. And I joined the program and I remember I was very devastated to this, like it was April last year, like I felt very bad. I was in my parents' place, actually. They took care of me. I wasn't able to be at home anymore, just a little bit. I wasn't able to take care of my child. And I was just, yeah, I was devastated. I was crying about this whole situation. And one day I just said, okay, God, I can't do this anymore. Like, I have to really be active. And then, yeah, found the program and I joined it.
and how did it get bad? Like, what happened before?
How detailed do you want to know it? Because, like, I can talk about the last 4 years, which were, I guess, the cherry on top. But, of course, it's based on childhood. Like, I really went deeply into the pattern of why did this happen to me. So the last 4 years were, I got a child and, that exhausted me completely from the birth. That was very difficult and, weakened me a lot to being in a burnout from just doing everything on my own, basically having really high ideals also, that were not healthy for me. Like I would say, okay, I want to be with my child at home for 3 years. I want to take care of him. I want to give him a good base. And this came out of lack because I didn't have that bonding with my mother. So I was like, okay, I want to do this. And that wouldn't help me see and feel and act my boundaries. So I would completely expose myself. I was in a burnout and I didn't really know how severe it was. I would have symptoms like headache and the end also like panic attacks, migraines, because it was all too much. And I went to see like also naturopaths and other people and no one told me how bad it was actually. No one told me you have to stop and you have to have help. And I looked out for help also, but that was a time my parents couldn't help me. They were not doing well and I didn't have a place for kindergarten and I had to wait for it. And then when I did actually have that spot I just completely collapsed. Like, I had triggered by a viral infection, and then I couldn't stand up anymore. Like, I didn't get healthy again. I was in bed, and I was very, very weak. And I think it took me a month until I got a bit better. I could do more stuff, and I pushed very hard to get better because I didn't really understand the whole thing. So I did too much too soon again. So I would bring my child to kindergarten, and I could barely walk. And I would do stuff here, and I would pick him up. And then I did something that wasn't good for me. It was like I took this remedy. It completely backfired, and it was a homeopathic thing. But I don't know, the whole process, something happened. I was a shock or something that happened, and I went into complete panic, like a panic I've never experienced before. I really thought I would die. And it was like evening. I was very tired already, and I shouldn't have done it. And my intuition actually told me not to do it, but I was, you know, pushing, like, I have to get better. Everyone expecting me to do. And then I had, like, the biggest panic attack ever. I really thought I'm going to die. And what did I do? Like, I suppressed it. I just carried on. I didn't even tell anyone, like, okay, I feel like I die. Can just please someone else now bring my child to bed? No, I brought my child to bed. I read him a good night story. Why I feel like I died, and after this, I completely collapsed. Like, this whole energy was just kept inside of me. And from that moment on, I couldn't talk, I couldn't eat, I couldn't move for a long time. So that was then, that was it.
Well, that's pretty stressful, pretty severe. And you were still working, or you already stopped working at that time?
I did not work because I was wanting to take care of my child. Like, I was like, I was self-employed, and I stopped doing everything, and I said, I don't care if I have money or not. I just want to be there and raise my child. Like, and no one else should interfere. And I just, like, you know, normally you do this 1 year, you have the sick leave, and then, like, I had a job before, and I stopped in maternity leave, but I didn't go back to this job. They asked me to, but I decided I'm going to stay home. I'm not doing this class in 1 year. But this, yeah, sometimes, like, mine can be very stuck on these idols, and they're not serving you in the end. And you get very, like, I got very rigid, frustrated, but I was like, no, this is good. But it wasn't good for me. Like, that wasn't helpful. I was just pushing through it. Yeah. But before, so I was exhausted all my life, actually. Like, I was a very energetic, very wild, loud, big mouth girl. Like, you know, the girl no one wants to have, because, you know, she should be, like, calm and nice. And I was just, like, cheeky and, like, very out there. And yeah, really. And my parents would send me to sports school, actually. My primary school was a sports school because I had so much energy. And I wonder, where did that go? Like, how did I probably come from being this girl and this child to being exhausted all the time? And I think it actually also, it started with school. It started from getting up really early and disrupting my inner cycle from the day, from the age of six. Because I hate getting up early. It's not my rhythm. It never was. And now with my child, it's the same. It was very bad for my inner balance, for my inner cycle, this sleep deprivation and this getting up early and so much. Like, I cannot handle this. Other people maybe can, but I cannot. Like, this is not my rhythm. And to live outside your rhythm for 13 years of going to school just made me very exhausted. I would be always, like, in school like this. People would refer to me as the one who looks so tired all the time. I started drinking coffee. I think I had my own coffee machine with 16. And yeah, that's just continued. And in my 20s, I think it was nearly at my first burnout. And I was going everywhere to find out what's wrong with me. Like, why am I so exhausted? And I had tons of other symptoms. And it kind of manifested then in the body. So I had this metabolistic dysregularity, I would call it. And I found it out on my own, actually. And then I just had to take one supplement and all the symptoms were gone. And I was like energetic again to a certain level. But it's not the cause, you know, like it got rid of the symptoms, like you said, the iceberg, but you don't see all the stuff that's underneath. So I would have a good sleep again. I would have enough energy to go to school. Like, so I went to school for natural medicine. So I was in a good place already. And it was like, I could just sleep in class. I would just go out and we had this chill area where we just could sleep. Like, this was cool. Like, I felt very seen and accepted with my exhaustion. And there were other people like going through something similar and know what to tell me, you know? And it was like, I could have got up early. I didn't have to attend class. Like, it was very free. And I felt very good in my condition to do this. So I was able to do this, actually. Because in university, I tried before and it was horrible for me.
So, wow, this sounds like this started at the age of 6.
I guess so, yes.
So you've been struggling for decades with fatigue.
I mean, I didn't really feel like this so much when I was younger, you know, because you're like, you're still a child, you have a lot of energy. But if I look back, also when I was 16 and I was working next to school, like, I would have friends coming, like, after work, like, in the evening, now let's go out, let's do party. And I could never do it. I was like, I'm too tired. Like, I can do the dates on things, but I cannot go out in the evening. So I never had as much energy as everyone around me, yes. Exactly. And also, and then when I was better, after I took the supplements, I could do this stuff at daytime, but I could never go out in the evening. I also didn't want it to. It was just too much.
Yeah.
So I was always like this, kind of, yes. And I would always have dark circles. Like, I think in primary school, people asked me if I would paint like purple under my eyes because I'm looking like funny, you know, for a kid to have this dark eye like shadows or.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I mean, right now I coach so many people, and a lot of times, almost every day, we go back to school because a lot of bad stuff happened at school with basically the suppression of the child's energy. And to trying to mold it into something that it is not, suppress the emotions, the child feels worse. And then after that, after like grooming yourself this way, then we expect people to be successful. And as we can see in our society, everyone is collapsing. Something is not working out.
So I felt also my energy kind of contracted, like my energy field was like, and there's another thing that happened. I just found out because I... like recently, because I really was looking into it. Why did this happen? And there was a traumatic event when I was around 11. And that made me experience the world as a dangerous place. Like, I felt like my childhood ended because I understood that there's violence in the world. There's people would hurt children. I didn't know that before. I just found that out through a newspaper. I actually read that what people do in the world, you know, they print this for everyone to read. So I'm this little child and I could read and I was just shocked. And I think this made my energy also like really contracted because life wasn't safe anymore. Like something could happen to me every day and I couldn't do anything about it. And I think this had a very severe impact on me.
Yeah,
not feeling safe.
Yeah, that's basically the mind-body explanation, that because of a danger, the brain creates all these symptoms.
Yeah, it's like feeling fear constantly.
And what were all the other things that you've tried in the last 4 or 5 years then?
Actually, before I had my child, I was fine. Like, I mean, I was able to get pregnant, so the body was, I mean, at least, you know, I think you have to have some certain level of not having so much stress and being able to, I get pregnant. So actually I was doing good before I got pregnant. And then it was this cycle disruption and then this constant attention and parenthood. It's just a lot. And there's never enough help, I feel like, in these days. And I always thought one must be crazy to raise a child like in this family like of two or three. Like there's this saying, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And I always said I want to be surrounded by people that helped me because I knew I need help. And well, turned out it didn't work out like this. And in the last year, so when I had the fatigue, like the chronic fatigue, I tried a lot. I went literally everywhere and it just made everything worse. Like always people who told me where to go, you know? Like, go to this, do this, this will help you, this will help you. Like, there's so much things they tell you. And I went to see therapists, I went to see naturopath, I went to see psych. I did it for my therapist. And they all did not understand how I felt. They could not, because they have been there. They do not understand the level of exhaustion and also the boundaries. Like, I wasn't able yet to express my boundaries. I was so weak. I was just, like, hanging there, literally. They were, like, looking at me like, whoa. And, yeah, I crashed after every appointment. Like, I was on this push and crash cycle. Like, I have to try something from the outside. Something has to help. Nothing helped. And then I just stopped. Because it just made me feel worse. And I thought, why do I have to look outside? Like, I was already in the program and a bit before, but also, and I said, I'm not doing anything anymore. Like, this is not helping. And I actually only stuck to one, which was cranial sacral therapy, because that really relaxed me. And it helped me also to release, actually. Like, you would, you know, go in the body and check spots, and then I would have a sensation and I would cry, and there was emotion I didn't even remember anymore coming up that was stuck inside of this tissue or this organ. And yeah, I didn't do anything else anymore, and that was better. Like, yeah,
I remember as well telling to my doctor, like, from now on you don't have to find me anything because nothing is working, and this is something I probably have to do on my own.
It's like also to take away the pressure of healing, you know? Let the body do its thing. When I've read, I think you break this, your body isn't proper. I'm like, when you...
Sorry?
This is a healing phase.
Oh, yeah.
This was such a big sentence for me. It feels like, I felt like this weight lifted up my shoulders. It was like, yes, it is. This is how I feel, but... We are taught to see everything as like everything, but the body, when it doesn't do what we want, we see everything in lack, and in it's not working, it's defaults, we have to fix it, we have to intervene. We can't just let it do its thing. I mean, it doesn't mean we have to accept everything, like we can do things about it, but like in a gentle way, in a friendly way, to see this is your friend who's telling you something. Like, listen. Maybe also more playful approach.
Yeah. The way that I see this is that the body is starting a healing phase. So the emotions come up, but there are some, like, that we are stuck then, and then the body creates symptoms. And then we think that we need to fix the body. We need to fix the brain. The brain is making a mistake. The immune system is doing things wrong. There's a false danger response. But no, if we just step out of the way, then naturally, normally people will start crying eventually and they start releasing.
Exactly.
Eventually, we don't really need that much. If we just don't have any source of information, I think this will all happen automatically.
Stepping away. This is something also I wrote down for myself. Step away. Don't stand in the way of healing. Because fixing is a mind thing. The mind tries to control. And I had also other people always telling me stuff. And I was like, I don't want you to fix me. I don't want solution-orientated thinking. Like, I want to go into this in another approach.
Yeah. And it's been a year. So how have you been? How are things going?
So I slowly... I slowly got better. And I say slowly because I did not have the need to go very fast, very quick, like to push myself. I mean, well, I think I pushed enough. I let life happen also. And for me, life was itself had so many triggers already, like with daily life, like there's nothing more than a kid is like triggering you, like really. So I felt like I was in out of comfort zone every day, and that helped me. Like I would make progress every day because of the things were things confronting me in form of my child pushing all my buttons and me not running away from it. But of course, it took time, and it was very hard, and I was very identified with my symptoms for a long time. Until my strengths got better and I could, I could face it. While I wouldn't dive so deep into it, I didn't get so overwhelmed anymore. Then it was a point, I remember there was a day where I felt like myself again. Just by doing the program, connecting to myself. And also I had a bit help from my homeopath. Like, I think she really helped me also in forms of feeling myself again. Like, this was maybe a shortcut that I'm very thankful for. I think I didn't have to suffer that much because I'm very sensitive and very open to this kind of energies, like subtle like energies, like homeopathy. And it really, it did something to me. And from this on, I could do slowly everything more. And then I dared to do the summer vacation last year. And I was really like, I was so scared of it because I was like in bed and just doing it household stuff.
That's what you wrote in their community, that you went to Greece, right?
Right.
How did that go? Because you didn't really come back to there.
Okay. Yeah, it went well, of course. I was scared to do it, but being in different environment changed the symptoms. Like, symptoms were gone sometimes. Then I could do more stuff. Then I did a lot, and then I had some crashes there. But actually, it wasn't that bad. Also, the journey, like, I was tired. And in bed maybe 1 or 2 days after the journey, and on the way back, I was very scared. And it was like kind of my worst case scenario because it was an 8-hour journey back because I had to take a boat and the plane. And I didn't have time to do the worst case scenario. So this was my worst case scenario. So I just lived through it. And it wasn't that bad in the end. I think it was 8 hours. And I came here. And then I was like half a day or a day after, I was just tired and exhausted. But I think when I survived this, what else? Like, literally, from that day on, I was like, what is going to happen? I survived the 8-hour journey in a little plane that was really loud in a boat that was so incredibly loud. Oh, my God, the engine was so loud. I was there for 2 hours and it was just... And I'm like, oh. And I liked it. So that gave me so much strength then. And after this, just went get better and better and better.
Nice. Hey, and something that I always remember you for is the stories about your laughter releases. I think you had two big ones, right?
Yeah. So the last one was really changed a lot. Like, it was just recently, right? But it feels like the last resistance just melted away from this. And this whole seriousness. I was so serious and so I was, I don't know, stiff and about this whole illness. And I would perceive myself as ill all the time. And I thought, what is this mindset? How am I going to be better if I'm just thinking in, okay, I can do this, I cannot do this. If I do this, then I cannot do this. Like managing my whole day in terms of this bully idea. Like I knew I'm not, but not really, you know. I didn't, something inside of me was still convinced, like I have to be more careful also because I cannot always release with my child and I have to show up in certain, like I have to be there in certain situations. Like I cannot afford to be in bed and to wait for, oh, okay, now in tomorrow I can make a release, or, you know, like there has to be a bit more managed sometimes with the kid. So
could you explain a little bit more about what a release means for you? Because I think people might be watching and like a release. What is he talking about?
So right now, for me, this goes very intuitively. I don't have to do anything anymore. Also, since this laughter thing, I feel so I'm in a situation and I feel something is weird. Something is off. And I feel a symptom like fatigue, or I get heavy legs. Before, so was brain fog. And then I connect to it. And it immediately, I can immediately feel it in my body. I feel the spot and I feel this emotion coming up. And I feel this tickling in my nose, my eyes get red, and I just cry out. And then it's gone. The fatigue is gone, the heavy legs are gone, and I just can continue with whatever I do. Because I found trigger, and I'm also, sometimes I don't have to even analyze. Sometimes I analyze, I see, what was the trigger? Ah, okay, it has to do with boundaries. Like my boundaries were crossed. I did not communicate my boundaries a lot. And I get angry about it. And then, I get sad about it. And I connect to this feeling and I can feel, and it comes up and it comes out. And now sometimes I don't even have to know the trigger. I just tune in and I just feel that there's something there. There was something in the situation. Felt not right. I had this also very nice thing, like I had an instant release. It was the first time when I was outside, so I was with people, and I went to pick wild herbs, and something I used to enjoy very much before. And I was like, okay, now let's do this. I want to pick this special herb because I really want to eat it and enjoy it. And we picked it, and then we ate, and they would talk about religion and politics. And I was getting so angry and upset because I wanted to eat that herb and I wanted to connect with this. So I told them to shut up. And they did, but after I felt weird. Like, I felt really unpleasant, agitated feeling inside of me. So I told everyone I have to be alone, and they were so nice to just, you know, leave me and go away. And I laid down in the sun. It was like outside in the belt. And immediately I felt like I was very angry of them destroying and depriving me from this possibility to connect to this herb and eat it and be present with this and enjoy it like fully. Like I was so angry. And then I was so sad that I couldn't experience this. Like they were talking while I was eating. So I cried and cried. And then the feeling was gone. Like, I just lived through it. Like, okay, this was emotion. It's gone now. Let's move on. And that was fine again. So this is a release for me.
Beautiful. Yeah. For me, this actually is such a good example. I choose sometimes to not be around people because every moment of connection or something like that is wasted with all those words and talking.
I don't want to talk anymore. I'm in this situation. Literally, I just also the day, all my coping mechanism. Now, when I think about doing them, I get stressed. Like, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do anything. So mostly now, I just sit there. And I sit there and I don't do anything. I'm just present for hours. Some cold crumb, maybe not. I just tell them, like, and this is fine. I don't want to do anything. Like, some, I have a book here, and I'm like, I don't want to read it. Like, I don't want to do anything. And I'm finally at my inner peace. Like, I never was before. I tried, but I could never understand. Also, I could never do meditation before because I was so stressed. And now I'm just, it's just silent inside. And it's just peaceful.
I love that.
This is beautiful. Yes. So this is like the gift I got from the last year. Yeah.
Sometimes I get emails from people. They are also starting to touch on that phase, that they're like zen and in the moment and peaceful. But then they start emailing me because they're worrying, because they don't want to do things anymore. And their whole identity is based on doing things and pleasing people, performing, achieving, perfectionism. What would you say to those people?
Just don't take everything so serious. And don't think about it too much. Like, just do it. Just enjoy it. Like, we always have to dissect everything we do. Like, for me, I don't have this big identification thing. I think I never identified as human, actually. I always felt like, why am I here? What am I doing here? So I don't have that problem. But I'm just, you know, okay. There's like looking at everything, looking at myself and just thinking, what is this? It's so weird. But well, it is like this. I accept this. And yeah, maybe it's just being reborn again and just being open to the new you. Forget about the old stuff. It doesn't exist anymore. And there's a reason why. Like, why clinging on this? Like, there's so much knowledge about how we suffer because we hold on to things. Like, because people get scared, will change, I don't know, but just let it be. Like,
I like that. And you also said, like, let it be when it came to your symptoms. Before, you were always in resistance, you wrote, and then at one point you started being fine with them.
Yes, it's the mindset where I changed. Before, I was like all worried and always frustrated about everything. I had this time where I was having one cold or flu after another, like the whole last winter. And I got so frustrated and I cried so much about it. And I just stopped caring. And it's easy to say. Like I said, when in the moment and the symptoms are hard and it's all you can obsess and think about, that's the whole purpose. Like, it's hard to say just don't care. I did care at this moment. Like, it took me time, but also take your time to get there, to be okay with this. Like, it will happen. And then you just now sometimes I have to pick up my kid and then I get heavy legs exactly 10 minutes before I'm supposed to walk out, and I laugh about it. I'm like, yeah, of course you get heavy now because you don't want to go out, you know, like, ha ha. And like, it's just ridiculous at this point, you know, like, yeah, okay, just whatever. And then I just forget that they were heavy. Like, I just do my stuff. Are you kidding me? Like, it's funny.
I like that.
So for me, there's a whole picture that came into, like, I have this in my mind so much about this whole last year is, you know, this oldest archetype we have in humankind, in human history, is the hero's journey. The archetype of the hero. The hero.
Oh, the hero, yeah.
The hero, like this, the hero's journey. And this is, like, everything is full of it, you know? You have this, I mean, I don't always talk about, like, the Greek myth, you know, of Odysseus, who went out into the world to have all these adventures, which in the end is just, like, a description of inner walks, and to just come back to the place of origin and to find himself. And it's the same. You have this in the Michica Caucasus, actually, in the Mesoamerican culture. And you have all these gods, and they just depict this inner journey of facing the shadow. You have the shadow god. We have, like, the worst enemy of yourself. We have the god that skins yourself, like Reborn, and we have Quetzalcoatl in the end, which is just inner peace and different form of consciousness you gain when you go through all these things. And it's all there, and it's in the Bible, heaven and hell. This is just inner pictures. You have to go through hell to get to heaven. Like, you will not understand it if you do not play to shadow. And this is all there, but I never understood it. Because how can you if you have not lived it through? Like, it's just words. So this whole cycle, actually, for me is a big... I have this image in my head now of just, you know, going out to the world to, in the end, find what was there or in the beginning already, but you've never seen it. Like, you wouldn't even look there in the beginning. Like, who would look where it's scary? Like, it's hidden exactly on the point no one would look. It's like a very good hidden treasure.
Oh, yeah.
And the brave, yeah, if you're brave enough, like, you get there. And I had moments, I mean, I had horrible moments where I just wanted to give up and say, no, it's not worth it. Like, this sucks, this inner sucks, life sucks. I don't want to do it. I give up. I easily give up. Like, I like giving up. Like, I'm lazy. I'm like, don't want to do it.
But laziness is also a good trait because it stops you from looking outside of yourself.
Exactly. And it just stops you from doing too much, which is really good with CFN. But, you know, I mean, I'm lazy and I have this other thing, you know, which is like overachieving. Yeah, this picture is just in my head and it's a beautiful picture. And it's like, it's all there. They know it, like they knew it since so long time. And in the Vedic scriptures, like everywhere, they all talk about the same. This is as old as humankind. They all did it before us, like trillions and over trillions of humans. It's just the way to go.
Why do you think that it's sort of like hidden right now, whereas in the past people used to publicly talk about it, but now things are more superficial and about distractions? Or do you think that it's always been like that?
Again, what is hidden?
Well, before, you know, like those cultures, they were publicly talking about this. And right now, you don't really, it's like you have to go further back in time. And there is so much noise and stories and distractions and videos and series and internet that we all become so distracted.
Yes. So I think this, I mean, it was not all, there was this high cultures. And I think it was also for most people, which were just about to work and make their living, they never had the time to think about these things. Like, they just were here to, like, get, make a day's living every day and just use all the energy and time for this. So I think it was just also for a certain kind of people who were rich enough, actually, and who were privileged enough to maybe have that wisdom. And I didn't live in these cultures. I don't know if it was just really a public thing, like now it seems like through the codices, or if it was just for elite, actually, this knowledge, and they would live through it. And the other just, you know, were just peasants and they had to do the things. But definitely it was there. And it kind of, how do I say, it was like a smell or something, which was everywhere. And then, you know, people have this mindset. For example, like Quetzalcoatl, like there wasn't a description ever of what it is, because everyone knew it, because it was so common to know this state. So maybe it was a thing that was talked about and that was lived because there were rituals and everything. And today you don't have this anymore. But I think for me, it's like we have this knowledge now. Like, I'm struggling with this question a bit because there's all this knowledge is given to us. Like, we have this access, we have the internet, we have libraries, we can speak different languages. Like, we have so much more access than maybe people had before, who were not in the circles. So if we blend out the noise and the distraction, actually, it's all there. But in the end, also, it doesn't for me, what's the use that it's there? Because you have to live it through, because you don't understand it anyway.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't. But I read so many books. And
giving us a chronic illness, or if we can even call it an illness, is then the most important step that we take in the hero's journey, I think.
Yes. It's facing your own enemy. It's facing your shadow. And the funny thing is, I did this talk before on a very intellectual basis and it didn't do anything. Like, it's just words. Like, I did not know what it meant because I didn't feel it. It's the same like depression. I never understood depression, or you don't understand exhaustion before you ever feel these feelings. And now I'm like, okay, this is what it is. Now I can understand the other person. Like, I do not understand it before you feel it. This is why we're here, I think. This is why we feel. Because the mind doesn't understand anything.
Very beautifully said. And I think I judged people too much before I got a chronic illness with their fatigue and depression. And then it all happened to me.
Judgment is also a thing. Judgment just divides us, and judgment just looks on flaws and errors. And opinions is the same. No, opinions just look on differences. And this is something really, this is also a shadow. Actually, I read a funny book about this the other day, which is the shadow of judgment, which is like worldwide, a worldwide shadow of humankind we kind of should overcome to develop as a species. To stop judging everyone. What do you know?
Yes. But if we judge ourselves, it's impossible not to judge others.
Exactly. And it starts with ourselves, like always.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a very nice end to our interview. Before we leave, is there anything else that you have missed that you think that people should know, or that could help them?
No, I just would emphasize again, like, take away the pressure of healing. Like I said, befriend your body and don't stand in the way of healing. Just try to have just something different, like a playful approach, for example, or a gentle approach. And this is also something I did. I actually looked at my feeling. One time, I just looked at it as it was a little baby. Like, I felt it in my body, and I felt, what does it need, actually? Like, I'm a mother, but why can I give not myself what I give to my child? Like, this very gentle, caring, loving attention. So I did this with the sensation I had, and I just imagined it was this little thing, or like a caterpillar, and I'm so soft, and I'm picking it up. And this was enough for me to just cry and release, because it never had experienced something like this. Like a feeling that is stuck in there in a child that's just rejected the whole time, and be like, oh, you're unpleasant, I don't want to help you, is there? You just annoy me, you don't fit in my schedule. If you just do this approach and like caring, loving thing, this makes such a difference. Like, nothing in the body, especially like pain or something, is used to you being nice and gentle and accepting to it. So try this. Like, for me, it did something. Like,
yeah, this is powerful stuff that you're sharing. I remember that that once we had a group session, and there was someone asking me if this was all feminine stuff. Kindness to yourself. And he thought, like, we're all becoming pussies. What would you reply to someone like that who says something like that?
Well, check out your conditioning. Like, check out why you think feminine is this and male is another thing. Like, check out what you have learned and what like your parents and your society has taught you, and question this. Like, why we have these opinions, why we have these thoughts, because someone told us, because we read, because we heard. Like, just get rid of all this. Like, get rid of it. It's not serving you anymore. Just make your own mind. And that's not based on dogma, on stuff you read, stuff you heard, stops the mind, tries to understand of society, of conditioning. Like, is this all crap? This is not you. Just get rid of it to find the real you. And it's not a word, and it's not, it's just the feeling. So I would say this, yeah. It's the same when people say women should shave, or like, when women has gray hair, it's like, oh, she's so ugly. Like, why? Why we have this, like, question all your thoughts, like, why? And what's the reason? And don't just trust yourself and believe in these and your thought.
Wait, don't trust yourself? Your reasons
don't
and
trust
your
thoughts. Don't trust your thoughts. Like the reason why you think that, okay, maybe it was bad, but don't trust. Like, I think this should be this and this, and this is because of this. Like, question yourself and don't trust, because it's all conditioned. Like, be skeptical about yourself. No, maybe not trust yourself, but be skeptical about yourself.
Yeah.
This is better. The better.
Well, I think that people can take away a lot from you. So thank you so much, Anna. Thank you so much for willing to do this.
You're welcome.
And it's a pleasure having you in the program and seeing you in the community and the group sessions. So thank you so much for your presence. And wow, we can learn so much from you. Thank you.
Well, I learned so much from you. So actually, I'm just mirroring, I guess.
Okay. Well, I like that. So thank you, Anna. And see you again.